The Tom Woods Show, episode 1138.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, Harry's Razors are the official razors of the Tom Woods Show, and Harry's is offering you a $13 value trial set. You can redeem your trial set at harrys.com/woods. That's harrys.com/woods.
Hello, everybody. It's Tom Woods, and I am joined today by Kevin Dixie, the owner and founder at No Other Choice Firearms Training. Check him out at nootherchoice.net. He is a very skilled and accomplished firearms instructor, but he goes way, way beyond that, as we'll see. He has done a tremendous amount in his community, and that is St. Louis, to go beyond just firearms training, but to try to deal with a lot of areas of people's lives that can be improved in that kind of environment. And he's been very successful with it. He's a very accomplished spokesman. And frankly, he's had a bit of an uphill battle because the general consensus has been that the obvious position with regard to firearms that black folks ought to hold is gun control. And Kevin Dixie begs to differ. Kevin, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I'm thrilled to have you here. I've gotten a lot of good feedback, and you know, at this point, I'm rushing around because I need to get out of town for about a week, and I was not familiar with you, but I was getting requests, and so I said to my assistant, well, see if this guy's any good. You know, I just need to know, does he pass the initial test? And he said, is he any good? This guy's unbelievable. So then I said, all right, well, send me some stuff. And then I was listening to it in the car, and I said, oh, yeah, we're going to talk to this guy. All right. Now, obviously, right now, I mean, the sorts of things that you do and talk about couldn't be more relevant. I mean, everybody's talking about firearms and firearm safety and firearms regulation. It's just everywhere. It's all over social media. And it's arguably, I think it's never been more heated, more contentious, more difficult to have a civil conversation. Am I right about that?
Oh, you're 100% right. This is this historic time will definitely go down in the history books as probably one of the largest divisions in this country's history.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, I'm in middle age, but I've lived long enough to know that it wasn't always quite like this, where the division was so palpable, and it was like every word you use, people would measure to try to gauge whose side of the big struggle you're on. It can be pretty demoralizing. But I frankly think that what you're doing is, if I may borrow a hackneyed phrase from George H.W. Bush, it's a real point of light, what you're doing. Now, let's get down to the nitty-gritty. I want you to explain exactly you are a firearms instructor, but you're much more than that.
So I run a company, No Other Choice Firearms Training, and it is exactly that. It's firearms training. However, I like to bring back the day and remember the day we celebrated the Renaissance man. You know, the person that went out and they did more than just a thing. Nowadays, we want to put everybody in this box and compartmentalize them. And one thing that I noticed is that I was doing training and have been doing training for over a decade, all behind the scenes. I didn't care about social media. I didn't care about that. I wanted people to have good, affordable training for they can be safe, protect themselves, and be responsible. Well, what happened is what I believed in was coming under attack and came under attack a lot. That being the Second Amendment, freedom and expression of self, even your First Amendment rights were just all coming under attack. And so my friends constantly told me, like, we need your presence. We need you to actually talk. Yeah, you're teaching us how to fight. That's great, man. But we need you in the fight from behind the scenes. So I literally talked on a camera about a little bit over a year ago. Recorded my first video and it's been off ever since. And what I've been trying to educate people on is the fact that not only should you be preserving your rights because it's a right, it's a freedom, it's a God-given thing. You shouldn't let anybody take it from you. I don't even like arguing left and right. You just shouldn't allow anybody to do that. So we like to have those conversations. Oh, go ahead.
Well, in your story and the about page at nootherchoice.net, which people should definitely check out, of course, I'm going to be linking to that on our show notes page. This is episode 1138, so tomwoods.com/1138. You say, we're much more than a firearms and self-defense training company. We are a change agent for all communities. In what sense do you mean that?
So the change agent, meaning that firearms people, we are still part of the community. And so how do we step outside of the box of, hey, you're just a crazy nut with a gun? How do you step outside that box? We do that by reminding people that we are the change agents in community. So not only am I able to teach you how to protect yourself, I want to enrich your life. And the way that we do that is through our program, Aiming for the Truth. So for years, I've been doing things, mentoring young men, helping families rebuild themselves. I did it for a while through the NFL program they have called All Pro Dad, where I taught dads how to be better fathers to their children. And these fathers were not active at all. I got 30 fathers at one time, all together for weeks at a time, rebuilding relationships with their kids through tears and everything else. And then from my law enforcement background, dealing with the jail system, I was able to help these young men understand, hey, these are the situations you're going to find yourself in. Good people making bad decisions because they don't understand the law. Well, after that, we got people dealing with mental health issues. So I'm out trying to help people with that. And I'm running all around the place. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to put all this under one roof, and we're going to cause change in communities, every community. How do we do that? We do that by focusing on what the truth is surrounding violence. Why are our communities in such turmoil? Why is that? Well, let's aim for the truth, hence the program Aiming for the Truth. And that's when we get everybody into a room and we help you deal with everything. We help you deal with mental illness, rebuilding of the family, your finances, employment skills, actual employment itself, your child's education, firearm safety. And then after we've given you all these resources and we bring in subject matter experts for all those topics, after we get you understanding the equity that you can build into your life. Thus, if you have equity and things to focus on, you're not out doing silly things. So after we can get you to focus on the equity you have built into your life, then and only then I want you to think about whatever life you're going to build. Is there somebody that will take that life from you? Unanimously, everybody agrees. You can always protect what you know you've invested in. Okay. Now that we've helped you with that, let's talk about this thing called the Second Amendment. Let's talk about your Constitution, and let's talk about gun control history. And the only reason we bring that up is because from a historical standpoint, you need to understand in communities all over the world what has happened when people were disarmed. So I don't want you to build up this great life. I don't want you to clean your mind, get all that mental illness away. I don't want you rebuilding with your kid and becoming a better dad or becoming a better mom and managing your money better. And you're actually becoming a great pillar of society. And then some fool can just come along in a blink of an eye, take it from you, and you have no way to defend that. So that's what I mean by a change agent. We are much more than firearms. The hashtag is we are more than guns. We are a community. So how can I help my community be better? And then once you've got to a place of being better, how can I help you and give you the skills to protect it and give you the constitutional education? That way you understand what you're protecting and why you're fighting so hard for it. So that's what I mean by that.
Tell us about how your own personal background and experiences led you to the views you have now and what you're doing now.
Well, I grew up in the inner city of North St. Louis. It's a place that was lightly patrolled by the police, and because they got shot at whenever they were coming to our neighborhood. And I grew up amongst it all. I mean, prostitution, drugs, gangs. I walked through three different gang sets just to get to the bus stop when I was a teenager going to high school. I also, at the corner of my street, there was a literally, I don't mean this to be funny, but literally there was a tombstone retailer four doors down from my front door. That's the environment I grew in. And, you know, you would see robberies just walking to the corner store. It was horrible, man. It's just a bad environment. And what I saw from that was, you know, a lot of people in my environment, I used to always tease that we needed to do something to be safe. Like, what are we going to do to be safe? And I decided to come up with a remedy for that. Like, I'm going to teach people how to be safe as soon as I can get old enough to do it. And that's what I started to do. And I also saw all these different factors cause havoc in our communities. I saw parents unemployed. I saw single moms. I lived it. I'm a product of a single mom. So I wanted people to understand and know that, A, despite where you come from, because it's no secret in the urban environments, especially in Black communities, guns are bad because only two types of people have guns. Police, which are we being taught how to think about police, and criminals. And obviously they're criminals, so you don't think that they're OK. So guns equal bad. There's never a positive when it comes to it. And I wanted to actually show people that, no, through the firearm, I can show you how you've been being deceived in other political ways as well. But you should at least have the God-given right to protect yourself. So I'm able to take that experience, take dealing with mental illness. When I first shot a firearm in that same environment, the first time I shot that, I tell the story when I was a 13, 14-year-old suicidal kid, the first time I shot a gun. And so I believe that when I picked up that firearm and I shot it, I thought that for a minute I liked the mechanical aspect of the firearm, but it wasn't that at all. About 30 days later, I got diagnosed with depression. So the reason I love the firearm so much because it was a quick fix. It can make the depression go away. So I'm able to talk from a personal standpoint about how mental illness and certain environments and environmental factors can influence your life and what we can do to build better people, because I've seen people in despair all my life.
What do you say to people who would say one of the big epidemics in this country is black on black crime, and a lot of it is gun related crime? And so that's why, if we care about these folks, we will try and get guns off the street. And you would therefore would appear to be doing something like the opposite.
All legal, responsible Americans should be armed. And when you're going to, when you segment it down to the black communities, this is what my response to people to say, well, black on black crime. Every community has its own crime against each other. They're in white communities, there's going to be white on white crime. That's just a factor. Now, when it comes down to the urban environments, when you're looking at the criminals that have the guns, the criminals are doing what they do best. They're criminals. I mean, they are committing these atrocities. The problem is you don't highlight when good people in those communities are protecting themselves against the criminals. So the only thing you're hearing about is when the criminals are victimizing good people and when the criminals are victimizing each other. But you don't hear the stories about when that family protected themselves against the dope dealer across the street. Nobody tells a story about when my mom had to get a firearm because the gangs kept breaking in our house because they knew we can protect ourselves. Like, nobody wants to talk about that. But there are good people that, for financial reasons or the fact that they just want to make their community better, or they have a history in their community, they don't want to leave. But they also don't want to be victims of crime. So, yeah, sure, there is black on black crime. Absolutely. And I'm not going to say that that doesn't happen. However, it doesn't mean that we ignore the good people there that are trying to protect themselves and want to make their communities better. Everybody can't afford to just run from something. We have to have people that are able to stand still and fix those environments, and they should be able to protect themselves. Everybody can't afford, you know, a $1,500 mortgage. Some people can't only afford a $500 two-bedroom apartment. That's what they have, and we should be arming those people to make sure they can be safe. And as far as the criminals and them giving up their guns, they're not going to do that. So we're going to leave people in a cesspool and then tell them, good luck, the police will come protect you, and make sure you lock your doors up real good. That's just not a reality.
Right. So you can either sit there and wait for police to come, which may or may not happen, or you can defend yourself. What is the third option? There's no third option. Now, what about this kid, this David Hogg, you're not allowed to criticize, right, from the Parkland school shooting? You are not allowed to criticize, or you will be disappeared. You will never be heard from again. He, not too long ago, stood up and said that he was going to summon all his white privilege in order to call attention to downtrodden people of color around the country whose struggles with gun crimes have gone unnoticed. But he's going to take his white privilege in order to point to that. I guess there are some people who were moved by that, but I guess I kind of feel like if I were black, my attitude would be, you condescending little piece of you-know-what, shut your mouth. You know, I'm just stop treating me like I'm 7 years old and you're my mom. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know. How did you feel about that?
It was insulting, to say the least. And, you know, identity politics at its best right now. Somebody convinced me that David Hogg knew that black students were 3 times more likely to be suspended from school than white students before somebody told him to say that. Tell me and convince me David Hogg was going to predominantly black educational systems and speaking to the principals, the staff, and the students before someone paid for him to go there and told him, this is what you're going to say. So it's pandering at its best. And so what I did in response was, and now the mainstream media knows who I am. I know they know who I am because every time I appear in a video, they cut me out of it.
So they
know who I am.
They know you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they know me. And so I put out an open invitation to Mr. Hogg to say, hey, since you care about the black struggle so much, okay, cool. Let me go ahead and put this open invitation out to you. I will put you up. I will give you room and board. I'm pretty sure someone else can cover your travel. You come to St. Louis. I will take you to my old neighborhood, but here are the rules. I need you to speak as passionately as you speak on camera when you're talking to everybody else. Same tone, same language, same everything. And you are not allowed to bring security. You are not allowed to ask the police to come with you. And I want you to go into that neighborhood. Now, I'll come with you, but I want you to go into this neighborhood and I want you to talk to these individuals that you claim to care so much about, not in a controlled setting at a school, not on some fancy camera. I want you in the communities like I am, because that's what I do. You can see there's plenty of evidence of me in all kind of communities. So I want you in these communities and I want you talking to people. Just be yourself, man. Please come. You know, of course, I got ignored, but yeah, that was to prove a point. Yeah. So he is definitely I will say he's going to be the bane of our existence for probably the next 50, 60 years easily. But he is definitely he is the catalyst. What they thought he was the proper catalyst to a link, you know, these two systems, you know, link the quote unquote, whatever that white privilege, whatever he was talking about, link that with the urban struggle, because mainstream media knew that they were going to be called out about the unfair balance. And that's unfortunate what happened in Florida. That's sad. I literally almost broke down in tears when I heard about it. It's very sad. However, we can lose that many kids every three weekends in the inner cities around this country and nothing happens. You get no outside of local coverage. You get nothing. So, yeah, there was an imbalance and they knew that. That's why they said, hey, let's prep this guy where he can get out and present to the quote unquote black kids with his quote unquote white privilege to make sure that they understand we care about them, too. The problem with that is as soon as Florida happened, well, I will say probably two or three days after it happened, myself and a few other guys start putting out what they were going to do. We called out their game plan weeks before they did it. And they went and literally done it. So he's a facade. He's a falsehood. I mean, he's definitely not connecting with most Americans, let alone people in the inner city.
Well, there are a lot of kids out there giving impassioned little speeches, you know, for a few minutes at a time at these school walkouts. There's another one scheduled for April 20th, which is coming right up. And they're more or less all saying the same thing about gun violence. Now, let's say Kevin Dixie had the microphone at an event like this and everybody's sitting there listening. And let's say it's a crowd from where you grew up, so you could identify with the kids in the crowd. What would be the message you would have for them? About firearms, yes, but then even beyond that.
Well, we will. If you're saying my the kids where I come from, well, here's a very simple lesson for them. We can look at, and locally, we can look at the massacre in East St. Louis, where 24 black individuals were killed during what we call the race riots over there. They were killed when they attempted to flee from East St. Louis over to St. Louis, Missouri. East St. Louis is in Illinois. When they attempted to flee over the bridge to safety because people were running amok in their communities. When they attempted to flee, Missouri law enforcement was ordered not to let them cross. So they weren't even allowed to come to safety. They were forced back over into Illinois until the massacre. It was the militia, literally, because when they called the National Guard in to help out, the police and the National Guard both jumped in and helped murder African-American people. And then when they finally got tired of it, the militiamen came in and escorted those people to safety, the militia. It might pop up in your constitution somewhere. So that's an educational piece for them. When we look at Moses Dixon in St. Louis started the Knights of Liberty, and those individuals actually were the armed resistance part of the Underground Railroad. So if they ran into any slave catchers or, you know, former slave owners, they were the armed resistance to fight back. Those same men wound up a division of those men. They became 47,000 strong. Those same black men, a segment of them actually wound up joining the Union Army to continue what they thought was the good fight to free blacks in the South. So just with those two quick history lessons. Oh, I'm sorry. One more for my local audience. And one of our local parks, Fairground Park. When they desegregated the local swimming pool, where it can be blacks and whites, a few black kids went to go swim in a pool. A mob of hundreds of people showed up, kicked and abused the children in front of law enforcement until one brave cop actually jumped on top of a kid to keep the crowd from killing them. It took the cops 12 hours, 450 law enforcement officers to get the crowd of thousands to stop from killing these kids as they shouted things like, kill the N-word, kill them when it gets dark so there are no witnesses and things like that. Hang them from the tree. And this was in modern history. So when you take those kind of lessons, I will tell these kids to think about something. Your ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Moses Dixon, Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, etc., literally died. They literally died for you to have the exact same freedoms as every single white person in this country. They literally paid with their lives. Your ancestors paid the price. We are all just a receipt. And don't you ever forget that. And you don't go asking for a refund. Someone has already paid for that. All you have to do is live in that glory. And that also includes your right to a firearm and to defend the life that you build for yourself. And don't you kids ever forget it. And that's what I would tell them.
More with Kevin Dixie in just a moment after we thank our sponsor. Folks, when I buy gifts for people, I like to buy practical things. I don't like to buy things that are just ornamental or going to sit on a shelf or make the recipient wonder, where the heck am I going to put this thing? I want it to be something they can use. And that's why I've given Harry's razors as a gift, and I've turned people into lifelong customers of Harry's. I know that because my friend Michael Malice, whom you love on this show, was on the receiving end of a Harry's Razors gift from me, and when he came down for the 1,000th episode of my show last year, he brought it with him. He's still using it. Well, Harry's stands behind the quality of their blades, but they know that switching razors isn't an easy decision, so they created a trial offer. This $13 value trial set comes with everything you need for a close, comfortable shave: a weighted ergonomic handle, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, a rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Listeners of my show can redeem their trial set at harrys.com/woods. Make sure you go to harrys.com/woods to redeem your offer and let them know I sent you to help support the show. Kevin, you know, I wouldn't bring up race if I didn't feel like it was really central to the story, because people are obsessed with it. And, you know, when I've had Walter Williams on the show, I even told him, here you are, this PhD economist, and he even has some of his exams online. You can see the exams he gives his students. And I mean, I'm not certain I could pass these exams, and I have a podcast about this stuff. And I said, isn't it annoying to you? You're a PhD in economics, and every time you get on a podcast, all people want to talk about is race. You could talk about anything. You could talk about banking. You could talk about the economy and employment and whatever, and all they want to talk about is race. So I hope you don't feel that way. But on this, I just feel like I've got to ask you, what is your relationship like, let's say, leadership in the Black community locally? Do they look at you favorably or with a jaundiced eye or what?
I have a couple of local people that are definitely friendly, but if we're talking about the majority, absolutely not. So my program, Aiming for the Truth, that I summarized earlier, when I first started broadcasting it out on a wide scale to get the program here in St. Louis, of course, you know, I reached out to people that were great at getting people rallied up and getting them to events. And I reached out to all these local people and nothing, crickets. Actually, the one email I got back where somebody actually did respond and was like, yeah, we're not supporting your event because you're pro-gun. Now, the event doesn't have any firearms there. We're just talking. We're talking about bettering your life, getting your jobs. So this last time, we recently just had, which is not a new story, we recently just had a 5-year-old child here in St. Louis find a handgun and kill his 7-year-old brother while they were playing with the gun. So I decided to, it's about the kids, right? That's what all these people are talking about lately. It's about protecting the kids. Okay, well, let's do something for the children. So I put out a public PSA, no emails, no phone calls, no nothing. I put it on social media with a video. And I said, hey, for all my local powers to be and politicians, since it's about the kids, I'm not going to call you privately and I'm not going to email you privately. I'm going to put this out publicly. So I tagged all my local media, all my local politicians, from the mayor on down to aldermen, the president of the aldermen's board, everybody in between, local artists, entertainers, everybody. And I said, hey, I will teach firearm safety to this entire city for free. No politics. Here are the rules. There are no pro-gun signs, no anti-gun signs, no political signs, no bickering, no left, no right discussions, no none of that. Let's come to that agreement. Let's just put everybody in the room. City officials have access to all the city recreational centers. Open the doors. Flood people in them. I will get instructors from all around this country to come to St. Louis, and we will teach every single family in this town firearm safety, from the city, the suburbs, wherever. Let's open it up and let's do it. Politics aside, let's help each other out. Let's protect our children. You think I got one response?
Yeah, I could, as you were telling the story, I knew where that was going. And you couldn't have been more reasonable.
Yeah, absolutely not. And I said, here's going to be the problem. Here's why they didn't respond. I have this saying, and this saying is this: understand things in their complexity, be able to execute and explain them with simplicity. So there are complex reasons why they didn't respond, but here's a simple one. For you to respond and acknowledge me, you have to admit that all gun people aren't bad. And by surely admitting that, and you get me in a room with all these individuals, now you're showing all these kids that there is actually a guy that can come from the inner city that didn't play basketball. He didn't become a football star. He didn't become a rapper. He actually became a 2-degree professional with a family that now lives somewhat of a decent life, I would say. And he also believes in a right to protect himself. So he can be a positive, obtainable lifestyle for you. We can't show you that. There's no way we can show you that. And he wants to arm you with intelligence and constitutional history? No way. Absolutely not. So that's why they try to keep me from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe when I was younger, I would have thought, oh, no, you're exaggerating. That can't really be the reason. But that is the reason. There's no question about it. I've been on this earth 45 years. That's long enough to know that is the reason. Now, I'm reading on your GoFundMe page about your interest in taking your Aiming for the Truth program on the road to other cities.
Yes.
Before we talk about that, just tell me exactly, just give me some more specifics about what does this actually consist of? I see all the goals you want to reach and all the ideals you're shooting for. How does it actually work?
Well, it works like this. First, we have to start with a clean slate, right? So there is no point of getting somebody a job who's dealing with anger issues. So that's why we start with mental illness. What ails do you have in your life? Do you need to cry it out? Do you need to talk to somebody? This is a community first. No, enough tough guy for side. And normally guys with firearms were looked at. I'm an instructor, right? So I'm supposed to be a guy with a beard, dark sunglasses, a plate carrier, and a big rifle. No, I'm a human being and I care about people. So if you need to cry it out, let's get you in the room with a therapist. You might not want to talk to me. I'm not a professional psychologist or a therapist, but let me link you with one. And let me give you my honest testimony about that. And then after we get the slate clean, we got a good mind to work with. Do you have a job? Because if I can get you working and I can get you employable skills, resume building, interview tips, just simple employment, even a trade, if I can get you that, now you have something that you can use to make money. Once we get you making money, let's teach you how to manage that money. So let's bring in a VP of a local bank or a financial counselor and teach you like, hey, man, maybe buying these things isn't really worth it. Maybe you ought to manage your money like this. And this is how you can actually achieve financial freedom. You know, let's talk about what credit is. You'd be surprised how many people don't even know what their credit score is. Well, let's talk about that stuff. Then after we get you understanding your money, now let's walk you over to your family. So how do you use that job, that clean mind, that job, and this money to take care of this family? You didn't have a dad? Great. I'm here to help you understand what that is like. I didn't have one either. I did not have a father. So let me show you different skills I've learned over the years that can help you build with this child for pennies on the dollar. Being a dad is expensive overall, but there are plenty of things you can do that will just brighten this child's life up that don't have to break the bank. And one thing is just you being present. So let's talk about that and let's rebuild with this, with these children, and let's rebuild with the mothers, whether you're with her or not with her, married or whatever. Let's help you understand conflict resolution. That way you can actually get along and co-parent. And then that conflict resolution also translates to, now that you've built into your family, I don't want you doing something silly when you get into a road rage incident or some guy at your job or some idiot on the street. I don't want you reacting rashly. I don't. So I want you to understand what conflict resolution is. Then let's talk about your child. Let's bring in a different educational system, whether it be a local charter school district or tutoring services. Let's bring in some other things, Boy Scouts, some other things for your child to be involved in so they can get out of the same environment that you and them have only seen. Let's get them exploring the world and seeing different things. Educational system's not working. Let's get you linked in with somebody else that has a different way of looking at education for we can better instill in your child. That way that child has employment skills, is intelligent, understands critical thinking skills, and you're there to foster that. So they look back at dad or mom and say, you guys did this for me. So then there's the relationship, that connection. Then after that, that's when we can start talking about the Second Amendment. And one big thing I like to add in, and it sometimes throws the gun crowd in kind of a little frenzy, and I try to calm them down. Felons are welcome at this event. Felons are more than welcome to come. So the reason that we do that is you think about, I put somebody through a concealed carry class. One of the things I'm trying to give you is a basic, very basic skill set to protect yourself against somebody who is doing something crazy, something harmful to you, trying to hurt you. So imagine me being able to get that person into this event and we help them deal with their mental illness. They might not be able to get a great job, but we help them get a job and we help them or get the job obtaining skills. And then we help them get a resource to manage that money better. Then we connect that person with their family and we get them involved in their child and they understand, oh, this is what I can do to be a better dad or a better mom. And I don't have to fight everybody I see because I actually have something to live for now. I'm at my kids' PTA meeting. I'm at the Boy Scouts with them. I'm over here at the football practice or whatever. I'm actually involved in my child's life. That guy won't be in that parking lot to rob you because he's got other things going on. Right. So that's what it's about. It's about healing the community. Aiming for the Truth is truly doing that. We're aiming for the truth around violence. How can we yank violence up by its roots? And we start with dealing with the condition of man. And what can we do to better that condition? So if I can keep people from being violent, Thus, I have to worry about less about my good law-abiding citizens defending themselves with firearms, and everybody's better. The community starts to heal itself because there's less of the chaos going on. And then we can start talking about your constitutional rights. And even for those children of the parents that can't own firearms, whether they don't want to or they legally can't, those kids still get to get a skill set around firearm safety because they might go over a cousin's house or they may go over a friend's house. There might be a firearm out because the owner didn't do the right thing. Well, they still need to understand safety skills because I don't want those parents, whether they own guns or not, to have to deal with the loss of a child. So we want to make sure that the family's protected that way as well. And then we can start talking about your constitutional education and history. And what I found from that, not only does it help heal people, it starts connecting people with a sense of humanity. Because now you're looking at somebody who is, quote unquote, pro-gun, and you look at them and you say, you're much more than a gun guy. Yes, I am. And stop putting me in a box. You know, stop doing that to me. I am your neighbor. I am part of your community, whether we live 5 minutes from each other or not. So that's what that event is about. It's about a community first. Let's heal everybody. Let's kill violence at its roots. Let's stop throwing laws at it. There's no law you're going to come out with to heal the ills of man. You can't legislate that away. What we can do is put human beings in a room together, give you the resources, and this is a big one, and the sense of accountability, because you are held accountable. This isn't a handout. These are resources for you to do better. Now, once we've done all that, we can reduce violence, we can have better communities, and we can all move forward. That's what the plan is.
That's fantastic. I mean, I absolutely love what you're doing. I've been looking at it all day and getting ready for tonight to talk to you. And I absolutely love it. I hope it's continues to be successful and it spreads further. There's just one last thing on my mind, and I just can't seem to get a satisfactory answer for it. It seems to me it's just so obvious that if we're just talking about, let's say, black folks in particular, and the question is, what would be a way to make black folks more vulnerable as versus less vulnerable? Well, to make them more vulnerable, I'd want them disarmed. Mm-hmm. And to make them less vulnerable, I'd want them armed. And that's so obvious to me that it's astonishing to me. I mean, it is astonishing to the point that I can't even fathom the explanation that the mainstream of the so-called black leadership has exactly the opposite position. They basically would have the same position on black firearm ownership that the Ku Klux Klan would have. And I don't use the Ku Klux Klan example, that it gets overused. But here, what's the difference between them?
I think that in a situation where when you think about that, and it's always funny, minority leader, I have this philosophy in order to answer your question. And my philosophy is this. In urban environments, I like to tell people you are born a Democrat. You're born into it. You're born into these areas, and this is just the way you grow up. And it doesn't mean that all Democrats are bad. I'm not saying that, but you come up without an option. So they grow up to be your local politicians, or your local politicians are influenced by these areas. And look at what they do. They say, we will come in and help you. We'll get you food programs. We'll get you welfare. We'll get you, you know, any kind of benefit we can. But we don't want you to be armed. We want you to make sure you give us all the guns, because we understand, and this has been being said since I was a kid. The first time I heard NRA, it came in a little rhyme. NRA is the KKK. I remember that like it was yesterday. So I'm like, oh, okay. And they're like, yes, because the NRA guys, that's a group of the armed white resistance that will kill you. So allow us to protect you, keep you in this nice little bubble here, and you know, your great environment. Keep you in this little bubble and leave the guns to us, because you guys are only going to hurt each other because of all the crime. You can't be trusted. So give us the guns. And what we're going to do is we're going to take the guns and give you a basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take the guns and give you a basketball. We will pump music into your environment. We will give you all this kind of sensory deprivation because we don't want you armed. We need you distracted. So take these little nuggets, these little crumbs of finances and benefits, and we'll keep you protected by our police departments. And then when you start yelling about how the police are treating you, we then turn around and tell them, no, 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 guys, you don't treat them that way. We're going to give you more police. That way the police can oversee the police, and we're going to oversee all the police that oversee the police. I'm like, guys, this is some of the most hypocritical stuff you can ever do, which is why they don't want to get in rooms with me. How in the world are you telling the people that you were supposed to care about and you're supposed to be changing their environment and bettering their lives? That is your job as a politician. How are you telling them you're doing that by disarming them in the crime-ridden areas they in, and then going to send in more cops that you say that they can't trust. How in the world do you do that? No, you want to create saturated victimhood where people can rely on you more, because the more you become a victim, the more you're going to reach out to me for help. Thus, the more power you're going to give me. Thus, the more control I have over you. Thus, the better I can make myself. That's why we say it's not about guns. It's simply about control. Control equals power. Once they have the power, you become the subject. And that's what many people in the inner city are. You are simply subjects to democratic rule because they don't want you to be free enough to see the fact that, A, you should be looking outside the realm. And if you want to still be, you know, look at your political views at the end of the day, however you want to, that is absolutely fine by me. But no one, and I mean no one, should be trying to convince you that you should be disarmed doing it, and you should be uneducated on what this country was founded on. And fortunate for a lot of those people, they control the airwaves and they control a lot of the media and they control the local radio stations and things like that. So all these conversations are grassroots. They never hit mainstream because they understand it will start killing them. And I don't mean physically, but it would definitely start killing their agendas. And they can't handle that. And that's exactly what they are. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Whenever Al Sharpton shows up to an area, it's all the rave. Right. And I had to point out to people, and I just did this at the local rally with teenagers a couple of weeks ago. Tell me, you lose friends all the time. We have tragic incidents happen all the time. Tell me when CNN was here outside of Ferguson. Nobody can name it. I said, exactly. They show up when something benefits them and they can make you look like a buffoon. Ferguson was touted as a crime-ridden, poverty in a impoverished area where nobody had hope. Ferguson is a suburb. The blocks that they show happen to be a couple of the blocks that aren't the best. But Ferguson is not a poor community, but in large. So I'm like, these people aren't poor. Now, granted, they're not rich either. Don't get me wrong. But it's a pretty decent area. People actually applaud themselves when they go live in Ferguson from coming from the city. So these local politicians are trying to keep people in a cage. They're trying to keep them away from the airwaves. They want to keep them away from guys like myself because they understand we're going to start waking people up. You know, and when I wake you up, I don't set the alarm clock off. I tell people all the time, all I want to do is give you the information because you will defend your own conclusion. You won't defend mine. But once I give you the information and you use it to form your own conclusion, you will defend that to the day that you die. And they are scared to death of that.
Kevin, if people want to find out more about what it is you're doing, where would they go to find out?
You can go to my website, which is being updated, and all the information will be there. It's nooetherchoice.net. You can also follow me on YouTube at NOC for No Other Choice. NOC Firearms Channel on Facebook, a couple of different ways. You can go to NOC Firearms Training, KD for Kevin Dixie of NOC, or just my personal Facebook page, Kevin Dixie. And on Twitter, it's at NOC Firearms, and on Instagram, it's at NOC Firearms Training.
Holy cow, you're everywhere, man.
I try to be.
Jeez. That is pretty good. All right, I'll try and put as many of those as I can up at tomwoods.com/1138, and I genuinely hope people will check them out, and I hope you continue to enjoy success because you're doing excellent and important work. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you, sir.
All right, I hope you guys will check out Kevin Dixie. That's just tremendous what he's up to, and of course, on the whole gun matter, by all means, go grab my free ebook, Your Facebook Friends Are Wrong About Guns, which you can pick up at wrongaboutguns.com. I'll see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.